It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, there you go. Marcelo Meyer and the Jones and Keefe show yesterday live from Polar Park in Worcester. What a great interview. What a great time. What a great show that was. For them, speaking of great shows, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm live. I'm Rob Bradford. I'm live high atop Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. What a great time to be alive. Rafael Devers taking batting practice right now. I can confirm he hit one in the outfield. There you go. He is hitting the ball. He is hitting the ball. And as I just put on Twitter at Bradfo, also the image of Tristan Casas bizarrely behind the cage tracking the ball as they were coming into Rafael Devers. So it's almost like double barrel batting practice. You're welcome, everybody. All right, Sammy and Gordo, they're also here from Play. Tassie, you guys pick it up a notch. Let's go. You ready? You ready?
So ready.
Okay. All right. I want you guys, I feel like you're a little hungover from last night. And not like hungover because you've had about like 15, like 28 degree beers. No, that was last week. I'm talking about hungover because you were riding high. I could tell you were riding high from that first game. You're riding high, both of you. And then, boom, yesterday, sad trombone, Jack Leiter, Rafael Devers, all of it. And now we're getting into the weeds when it comes to Rafael Devers. We're getting in the weeds when it comes to Garrett Crochet contract. And now we're going to get into the weeds when it comes to the Marcelo Meyer conversation, which were you guys, what was your take? I did this before with the Devers stuff. I did this before with the Crochet stuff. Now I'm going to do it with the Marcelo Meyer thing. Why were you surprised? What was your take when he said what he said to Jones and Keefe?
I mean, I loved it. That's exactly how I want my top prospect to be thinking. I mean, what would be the alternative? Him be like, I didn't earn it. I'm happy to be here in AAA. No, he wants to be in the big leagues, and I'm happy he said that, and he'll get there eventually. I get why he's upset, but, you know, it's a process. I love what he said.
I don't. And before, Gordo, before you go, I don't even know if he's upset. Like, upset is the wrong word.
Maybe, like, bummed out a little bit. A little bummed.
I guess. Anyway, Gordo, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, I'm always for players being honest, candid, open.
Yes.
So, yeah, when you're asked, were you disappointed that you didn't make the big league team? Obviously, the answer is yes, even if maybe from the jump he knew probably inside that it was a long shot considering he didn't have a AAA at bat until yesterday, right? So it makes sense to start him in AAA, but yeah, I want him to want to be in the big leagues. I want him to think, I should be in the big leagues. I can play with these guys. So I'm glad he thinks that. I'm glad he's saying it. I want these guys to be honest. That said, like, It is what it is. Where's the spot for him right now?
Well,
right? It's just going to have to come. It'll come, but it's not
so
there
it's
right
also
now.
Interesting in that interview, he sort of laid out the plan for him, which is to play one game a week at third, one game a week at second, and four games a week at shortstop. That's the plan anyway going forward. And when it comes to Marcelo Meyer, I've said this, got to know him a little bit over the last couple of years, and it's good, you know, because I think you guys have seen it. We go back and forth, you know, we're busting you-know-whats, and, you know, it's good. Like, he's, to me, the way I explain Marcelo is that he's just the right amount of cocky. Like, he's just the right amount of cocky. And
that's the kind of attitude. Don't you want that attitude?
Yes. No, that's yes.
So he said just the right amount.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like when Tristan Casas said the thing in his press conference about all these guys should start in the minors. You know, I think Marcel Meyer was backing down off of that. He was just sort of leaned right into it. Like, no, you know, we're here to make the team. All right, well, one of the reasons why you aren't going to see Marcelo Moro, he's blocking. I don't want to say blocking, but they have that line upset. It's Alex Bregman. I know Nick and Dover have been hanging on to talk about Bregman. What's going on, Nick? How you doing?
Hey, Rob. Let me take you off. Yeah. So it wasn't like maybe November, December when you started talking about Bregman last year and how much of an influence a veteran guy like him would have on this team, let alone bringing a good bat and glove and all that. Now, coming into camp, he wasn't the greatest. It wasn't my first choice is the biggest free agent to go out and get, but they went and got him. They proved that they want to win, and you would think that everyone's going to be happy about this. Unfortunately, Devers isn't, and unfortunately, I hope that Bregman doesn't go into these games and go into the clubhouse thinking, I want to be a veteran presence here, but I really don't want to step on any toes, and I don't want to upset any players that might feel like Rafi has seniority or should be played, and we shouldn't even question, you know, him, whether he wants to play third, DH, first, wherever.
Nick, I think it's fair. I think it's fair in the sense of that it's a viable question to ask, and I am going to give you the definitive answer. Because, you know, one of the things, there, like I said to you earlier, Nick, there's a lot of things that I don't know, right? We're still trying to figure all the ins and outs as Devers. We're all trying to still figure out how they view Yoshida, all this. But I do know this, watching Bregman, watching him in the clubhouse, watching him around the field, watching him interact with people, and also just talk to everybody. Bregman is really, really good at reaching all corners of that clubhouse. I mean, the amount of time that I've seen him talk to I think I've seen him talk to Rafael Devers maybe more than any player that I've seen him talk to. And that's just me, the instances that I've had with him. But I don't feel like anybody in that clubhouse views it that way. And it's like I said, Nick, it's a legitimate question to ask. But I think one of the good things about Bregman is that when he walks into the clubhouse, everybody gets it. Like, he gets it. He's not getting on a stool in the middle of the clubhouse saying, I'm the leader. He understands his lot in life. He understands what his role is. He understands the dynamic and the possible sensitivity of everything else. That's one of the reasons why he's a really, really good fit here. So I hope I answered some of that question. I do not think that will be a problem.
Just one more thing. In the morning, you listen to Wiggy, and Wiggy says he only committed this many errors. And really, that's not a lot of errors in but when you see Bregman at third base, you see the balls that he gets to and how smooth it is and how the transition is, it's just seamless. And that guy needs to play there. And I don't know why Devers or any of his teammates
what was Wiggy saying about Bregman?
Oh, he's always saying about Devers that he's improved at third base, that his glove is much better. He's only committed 13 or 14 errors. That's the difference of could be six games.
Listen, Nick, I mean, the reality, and thanks for the call. And guys, you know this. You watch Alex Bregman play third base, and you watch Rafael Devers play third base. It's not even close. It's not even close. I think Devers can be an average third baseman, and he has been at times a pretty good third baseman. Unfortunately, you haven't put it together for the entire season. That's just a fact. But when you watch Alex Bregman play third base, you're like, that is one of the best defensive third basemen in the game, so why would you not play him there? I don't know about errors. I don't know about range factor. I don't know about any of that. All of it, by the way, leans toward Alex Bregman still being good. The eye test will tell you everything. The guy is an elite-level third baseman.
I mean, look no further than last night's game. How do you think Tanner Houck feels about having Alex Bregman over at third? He looked great. There were, what, two, three plays that I saw last night that he made where I'm thinking, first thing I thought, have to, was, does Devers get to that ball? Does Devers throw that into right field when he's trying to throw it to second base? I don't know, but I know Alex Bregman won't, and he's so clean over there. It looks like a different sport that he's playing when he's playing third compared to Devers.
I think that when you're watching Bregman, and this is coming from a guy who would have played Devers at third and Bregman at second. That's the decision I would have made. But it looks considerably easier, simpler, more confident with Bregman there. Now, that said, Devers makes these plays almost every time. Like you said, Rob, I mean, what, 13, 14 errors, whatever, over the course of the season. Devers is making almost all of these plays, but whatever the value you want to put on how do you feel when the ball is going there, and obviously there's going to be plays that Bregman makes with range that Devers can't get to that ball or whatnot, but I mean, even me as a Devers should be playing third base guy, I mean, it's impossible to deny that you feel way better with Bregman there when a ball gets hit there than when it gets hit to Devers.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, well, we'll get more into Devers because, listen, we have to lean into the chaos or the conversation where we began the entire show, fellas. I mean, it is what it is. This is the storyline that began on February 17th, has continued through these last couple days here in Texas. I'm Rob Bradford, live at Globe Life Park, way, way, way up. This is, I think, not that anybody cares. This is one of the highest press boxes in all the game. It's like watching a video game, which is okay. It's
higher
all good
than Washington.
It's right there with Washington. Listen, I love coming to baseball games. I love coming to ballparks. I love coming to see margaritas and helmets and bacon wrapped hot dogs and all that stuff. I do not love fireworks going off 2 feet from your head up
it's
by
true.
The roof.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I do not. Yeah, there are certain things that I do not love. But still, you know, it's fine. It's an enormous park. That's what it is. It's an enormous park. And I think I may have told you guys one of the things I found out, which is I couldn't believe, which was the Rangers actually own all the parking around this area, which is the area is AT&T Stadium, Jerry Jones land.
Right.
Jerry Jones pays the Rangers for, you know, to be there, and the Rangers get the money from Jerry Jones' team parking. Not that maybe nobody cares about it, but I find it fascinating.
I think you're going to make Red Sox fans jealous talking about a ballpark with parking.
Yeah, well, it's still a lot. I mean, it doesn't mean the price is going down. All right, well, we're going to talk about the Devers thing. We can talk about the Yankees scoring 25 runs today. We can talk about anything in baseball because, yes, fellas, baseball isn't boring. I want to talk about your highlight from your Florida trip because everyone's buzzing about that. Everybody is buzzing about the playtesting guys going to Florida and dominating down there. Gordo, Sammy, Tommy behind the glass. Speaking of Tommy, he's going to trend right now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now. All right, that was Alex Cora after the Red Sox lost last night. Rafael Devers, of course, four strikeouts. He struck out 7 of his 8 plate appearances on the 2025 season. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. At BB Isn't Boring, I'm with the Play Tessie guys. At Play Tessie, Gordo and Sammy. Say hello, Gordo.
McFarland.
And say hello, Sammy.
What was that? Hello, say Sammy. Hello. Hi, Rob Brad. Baseball.
Yeah. Hello, Rob Brad. All right. So Yay. We appreciate everybody being with us. Before I forget, guys, fellas, I want to offer you an invitation. I offered you the invitation to spring training, and you came. You visited me. I was so happy to see you. Everyone was happy to see you. You were a ray of sunshine. As I tried to articulate, I was the guy, like, when I picked you up at the airport, I was worn down, and you guys are springing to the car and being so happy, and you energized everyone down there. I want to offer another invitation, and this is for on Thursday. Thursday. Oh, I will be doing the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast at the L.O. Bean store out in the Seaport. Very, very special occasion. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on there, all kinds of Baseballs and Boring gear. We're going to hopefully have some people there. We're going to be talking about Baseballs and Boring, baseball not being boring, and the great game of baseball leading into opening day at Fenway Park, of course, the next day. I want to invite you guys to come on down. Again, L.O. Bean from 4 to 7. On Thursday, it's going to be a party. And it's going to be a party.
Let's go.
LL Bean. I thought you were going to say Twin Peaks, but that is also fun. LL Bean.
Well, again, Outdoor Outfitter. So let's go. You know, It's basically the same thing. So I will be there.
Merch.
You guys now have committed to being there.
Merch.
We love merch. I was showing, by the way, Cody Bradford, of course, of the Texas Rangers.
Relation?
I can't leave. Well, that's the thing, right? I cannot leave Texas without doing a Baseballs and Boring podcast with him, talking solely about how we both have the same last name. Because, of course, who doesn't want to hear about 10 minutes about that conversation, which they should, because we found out that we were related to each other, because we both had his grandparents do the lineage back to Governor William Bradford. So we said, we're related. Give me a hug, brother. We are related. I am related to a major league player, which led me to the very, very important question of, when you sign Bradford, which letter in cursive do you emphasize and which letter do you cruise through? Which I think is a very, very viable question. Right? Correct?
Wait, absolutely. I think about this all the time. What? This is always what I'm every time your name pops up on my phone, I'm like, how does he sign his signature?
What? Wait, when you're signing the word Bradford?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't you just emphasize the B?
There's other letters.
That's typically, so I think we are of the same mind. Yeah, this is why I am related to Cody Bradford, is that we emphasize the B and this, like, cruise through the rest, just scribble it out. So, I mean, the cursive thing to me is always fascinating. Like, do people actually know how to write cursive anymore?
I
want to know.
I do
no.
not.
Sammy, but you know how Sammy, to sign
you,
your name.
Sammy's a little bit older. Do you know how to write cursive, Sammy?
No, I don't know how to write cursive.
You know how I know people are of a certain generation, and it's older, even older than you, Sammy. But when they double space after punctuation, and you know who does this all the time? Dave Portnoy. And all of his social media stuff, he double spaces after punctuation, because when you're growing up of my generation, they told you you have to double space after punctuation. That's what you do in typewriters.
I'm not going to lie. I was taught that as well.
Well, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. I think I was taught that too. I had to drill that out of my head when I learned it wasn't what you're supposed to do anymore. I think they did teach that.
Okay, I'm off the hook then. I'm not that old.
Well, yeah, no, you are, but...
Again, I think they teach you in typewriting class. Ooh, I don't think they teach you in computer and in everything else that we use class. So, anyway, speaking of class, you guys have a lot of class, and we are going through a lot of stuff here at Globe Life Field as we get ready for the game, as we get ready for the pregame show. It's been a great baseball isn't boring show across the board, and I appreciate you guys all being part of it. Keep the calls coming in if you want. We've got another about half hour to go, 617-779-7937. And so I'm watching BP right now, and I can tell you definitively that Rafael Devers is the only him. Cass has gotten a couple cuts in. Rafael Devers has been hitting in the cage this entire time for the last half hour. I don't think anyone else has hit. Like, he is wearing out the pitching machine right now. And he hit one, and he hit one to left field. And Christian Campbell's out there, and Kyle Hudson, the outfield coach, slash third base coach, and I post a video of this on Twitter, of Kyle Hudson is behind him, shadowing him as he sort of going through the different exercises of playing left field. But one of the things that Christian Campbell just did with Rafael Devers up, Devers hit an opposite field fly ball that would have been a home run, and Christian Campbell went up and robbed him.
Oh!
Which was an awesome, awesome moment, which reminded me, we talked about Devers, we talked about Crochet, we talked about Meyer. I do want to take a second, guys, for reflecting on, maybe this is more of a positive, of the positive ilk, of Christian Campbell. You guys saw him down in spring training. You guys have talked to him a little bit. You guys know what he's all about. And I just said this. After that first game, I couldn't help myself. I had to write this. Christian Campbell is absolutely a breath of fresh air. And not only because he's a talented kid, but because of everything. Because he didn't know that he didn't have to have roommates in the major league. Because he didn't know that the team actually had their own plane. Because he didn't know that they actually give you the baseball after you get the first major league hit. It is, I can tell you, of all these players that come up, and they try to play it cool, Christian Campbell is such a breath of fresh air. Yeah. I don't know if you guys agree.
Rob, along those same lines, when we saw him at spring training, we said, hey, nice to see you. We met at, you know, Frozen Fenway. One thing I said to him was, yo, you know, you're the talk of the town right now in Boston. A lot of people are
really
talking to you. And he goes, what? I am? Really? I said, yeah, man, you got a lot of fans. I know you haven't played a major league game yet, but a lot of people are talking about you. He was shocked. And it wasn't an act. Like, people might hear that. Everyone's cynical. Like, oh, come on. He knew about the plane, the hotel room, whatever. No, this kid was legitimately shocked that people were talking about him up in Boston and that he already had, you know, accumulated a few fans up here. So, agree with you, Rob. He's a breath of fresh air. I wish everyone could meet him. He's such a nice kid.
So nice. Super, super genuine and authentic, too. Just like...
And I'm glad, guys, you know, 99% of the people took all that stuff that the other day about the hotel room and the plane the right way, right? They took it the right way of, like, this is just a guy who, honestly, this is the reality of it. Christian Campbell's been focused on playing baseball. That's what he's focused on. He's not focused on, like, what it's like when you get to the major leagues, all these other things. And I think that's a great thing. It's a great thing. I mean, I don't know if you guys knew that they didn't have roommates. I don't know if you guys knew if they didn't have a plane. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever thought about it until yesterday, honestly.
Exactly.
I always assumed that they didn't have roommates in the majors. I definitely knew they had their own plane.
I mean, Gordo, in fairness, you have no problem sleeping on the floor next to an electrical outlet. I've never met anyone so optimistic about everything like Gordo. Like, oh, thank you for that, letting me sleep in the room full of five guys that on the floor next to me. I had a great electrical outlet right near my head.
How many dollars did I pay for that room? That's the question.
Zero, right?
It was zero. Yeah, right. Yes, it was zero.
But even when you're in Florida, you're just like, oh, my goodness, look at that. The cloud is moving away, and the sun's coming out. There's sun. Oh, wait, the cloud's coming back. Oh, isn't this great? We have shade. We got it all here at Florida. We have it all. And then I would have loved to take you down to the 7-Eleven to meet my guy. Meet the incoherent clerk who couldn't even function.
You know what Gordo would have said? Gordo would have said, wow, Florida's amazing. You never know what you're going to run into.
Exactly.
Even at the gas station clerks are exciting. I love it here.
Exactly. Well, okay, so along those lines, I do want to ask you guys about sort of your perspective of what you saw when other than the hey, just happy to be here, we're running around the great game of baseball, all of that. Along those lines, give me like your takeaway, maybe even of my existence. Let's start there, right? Old man yelling at clouds, baseball's in boring. Yay, baseball.
Well, okay, the takeaway I had was it felt a lot more businesslike this year compared to last year. Not in like a bad way. People were still friendly, talkative. We had a lot of good conversations, but there was just a different aura. And to me, it felt like that started with Bregman. When he walked out of the clubhouse for the first time, there's this air about him. It's just something that they did not have in 2024. So that's what stood out to me the most. And Marcelo Meyer echoed that when we spoke to him. He said nobody stood out to him more than Alex Bregman. So
yeah, because he bought him a suit.
True. But he also said they talked baseball, which is also important.
Yay, baseball.
Along with the suit. But yeah, it's just more of a business-like approach. From my perspective.
Well, I'll tell you, last year, I just remember day one, they're doing like the catching competition with their flailing the pool noodles in catchers' faces, and like everyone's laughing, yucking it up, having a good time. And like they definitely put an emphasis on trying to lighten the mood. I think because players can feel when the vibes, especially like amongst the city and the fan base, are not, I guess, where they should be. They definitely put an emphasis on trying to up the vibes last year. This year, it's just, there's no need for that. We know what we have here. You can look around. There's guys that you recognize from their accomplishments in Boston. There's guys you recognize from their accomplishments on other teams. The guy who closed out the World Series now pitches for this team. There's kids coming up who are all in, like, pretty much unanimously in the top 15.
There's layers to be excited about.
Every bit of the organization, you can look around, and there's something to be excited about. So it's just, like you said, Sammy, go in, do your work. We know what we're trying to accomplish here. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, we know what this team is capable of, so let's do it.
From our perspective, I'm talking about Gordo and I and Pat as well, we didn't have to cope as much. Last year when we were at spring training, you know, we knew what this team was, but we had all those conversations like, what if this guy has a career year? What if this guy bounces back? There was much less of that ahead of the 2025 season. It's just the amount of talent that they've accrued on this roster from a year ago. It's night and day.
One of the most poignant phrases or statements or sentences that was said to me was from Trace Thompson. Trace Thompson, when we did a podcast with him and Johnny Gomes, and Trace Thompson's been in 9 different organizations. He's 33 years old. He can, to your guy's point, look through the, oh, we're having fun, and isn't this fun to be fun, and yay baseball, right? He can see through that. What he said, that this was the most urgent camp that he's ever been in. Like, that was pretty noteworthy to me. Ooh. Because I think that's what they were going for. And this, make no mistake about it, that they know the priority and the importance of getting off to a good start. They do. And this is why I think that all the Devers stuff has to be bubbled up to the surface too, because not only do we have the Devers conversations going back to February 17th, but we have the Devers conversation about coming up in the 7th inning yesterday with the bases loaded, and this is what you're paid to do, to produce, and you got to win this game. You can't give away these games. If you are putting these in the position where you have so many things go right, to your guy's point, you have the infield defense, you have the outfield defense, you have the good relief pitching, you have decent enough starting pitching, you have all of this, yet the master plan didn't come to fruition because Devers didn't hit, Tristan Casas didn't hit, Bregman didn't hit enough. That didn't work out, and they know how important it is early on to make sure that all of these things work out as best they can, and that's where I come back to what Trace Thompson said, guys. Well, and I think you guys felt that.
Yeah. Rob, I think you make an interesting point there because, like, we're talking Rafael Devers here. I don't know about you guys, but, like, let's fast forward here to May, June. I think Rafael Devers is going to be hitting, but these games in April, they matter. Like, this is why Trace Thompson said what. This is why they're coming into camp with an urgent mindset, is because every single game could be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, winning the division, getting that bye, and having to settle for a wild card and having to win a best of 3 series. Like, every single game is so important with today's playoff format. I think it's great that they came into camp that way, and I think that's why it's frustrating when, you know, you see Devers play only in 5 spring training games, and it's clear that his timing's not all the way there, and he's behind fastballs. Like, that's what makes that aspect of these first two games, at least in my eyes, so frustrating.
Yeah, you're setting a tone too. You're setting a tone, and when you get on a roll early in the season, when you inevitably hit that rut in the middle of the summer when it's 98 degrees and humid and you're feeling terrible, you've banked these games so you can get through that. So I like that there's urgency in the clubhouse. And Gordo and I were actually talking about this on the car ride over to the studio, how early in the season we treat every game like it's life or death, even though we know very well there's 162 of these things at least. I'm glad that the Red Sox are kind of assuming
along
some
those
of that.
Lines. And this is when you say setting a tone. The season that I always think about when it comes to that is a guy who is sitting 2 feet from me right now, Will Middlebrooks partook in, which is 2013 opening day Yankee Stadium, and how that helped set a tone. It set the tone going through spring training, where, you know, you're talking baseball and you have all the guys there and you're like, this is what we're going to do. This is the team we're going to be. But then you get to the Yankee Stadium and you have all these different things happen. Johnny Gomes scoring from second on a pass ball. You have, you know, Jackie Bradley. We just looked it up the other day. Jose Iglesias had 3 hits. Who knew? So you have all this, but that set the tone against the mighty New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium. And then you go from there. If you want to say setting the tone in terms of winning baseball games, well, it was 2018 after our guy Joe Kelly didn't have a good game in the opener, and then they come right back with Joe the next game, and then next thing you know, you're 18-2, and you have this iconic fight under your belt, and you bring the team together, and now you're on your way. So you have April, to your guys' point, April can mean such a big thing. It's not the be-all, end-all, but for a team that has been finishing in last place,
that's the key.
Had a bad second half, had finished at 500, hasn't proved itself, has so many expectations. We understand all of why Trace Thompson made that observation, why this is the urgency was there.
And Rob, not to mention, look who you're playing right out of the gate, the Texas Rangers. That's a team that's expected to go, you know, make the playoffs and make a run. And then you got the Orioles. That's a team that's, you know, if you want to look at Las Vegas, projected to finish ahead of the Red Sox. So who better to set a tone against?
And you know what, Rob? I like that you brought up the 2013 thing, because even though going into the seasons, obviously vastly different expectations in 2025 versus going into 2013 when people really didn't expect the Red Sox to do much of anything. But it's similar, because in 2013, you needed to get off to a good start because you needed to prove not just to everyone else, but to yourself that,
yes,
that you can do this, that you can compete, that you can ride the top of the division. Now, I think a lot of people, especially on the outside, I mean, there's a lot of people predicting the Red Sox to win the AL East, to make a big run, to get to the World Series. But a lot of the guys on this team, in fact, I'd have to look at it, but there's a lot of guys on this team that have not played in the postseason yet. Like that, they need these guys. I mean, like, look at the kids coming up. A guy like Tristan Casas, Jaren Duran technically played in 21, but he hasn't played in the postseason yet. Like, these guys don't know what that feels like. So getting off to a good start and proving that you can compete with a team like the Rangers, with a team like the Orioles, that's important to me.
Hey, think about this. How many 30-somethings do they have now compared to last year? I'm going to tell you a lot more. You know, Bregman and a bunch of relievers and Buehler. And, you know, so you have these guys who are that isn't a very real thing. That you are absolutely right. All right. So when we come back, I want to get your guys' take. We have one more segment before the pregame show. I want to get sort of each of your, Gordo, Sammy, Playtesi, each of your biggest takeaways from the first couple days of Major League Baseball. You can talk about the Yankees today scoring a million runs if you want. You can talk about the Dodgers going 162-0, that's rolling over everybody. You can talk about Mookie Betts. I don't know if you know him, are familiar with his work, but he's a pretty good player, and he used to play for the Boston Red Sox. You can talk about anything you want. I want your biggest takeaway from the first couple games of this great game of baseball. I'm Rob Bradford. I'm live from Globe Life Field. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. All right, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring, live at Globe Life Field. A few more minutes before the pregame show. Joe Weil taking it over, the great Joe Weil. just done an awesome job in so many things. Speaking of awesome jobs, Sammy and Gordo play Tessie. They've been here. You guys are awesome. That's why I just want to say that. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Rob. You're awesome, man. Like, you're awesome,
you
know, Rob.
You just say that because I drove you around in my rental car. Anyway.
Which we appreciated.
I know. You say, isn't this great? Isn't this a great rental car? We're in Florida. They have rental cars.
It has outlets. The car had outlets,
they have
Rob.
Outlets. It's amazing.
It's all unique to Florida.
It's amazing. What? Twin Peaks has salads? Oh, my goodness. Isn't this the best?
Least healthy salad I've ever had in my life.
Is it the best salad you've ever had?
No. But the least healthy.
Oh, the least healthy. Yeah, when you throw fried food on the top of salad.
Playing for the tie. It
was basically floating and dressing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wet.
All right. Well, so I want you guys, before we take off, get a few more minutes here, I want you guys to give your number one. It doesn't have to like be a power ranking, but a notable thing you took away from the first couple days of the great game of baseball, the 2025 baseball season. I will start first. I will start by saying that my instincts have never been keener.
I knew you were going to do this.
5:55 a.m. on opening day, I sent a text to Tyler O'Neill, congratulations on hitting the home run. And sure enough, six straight opening days, boom, boom, boom. It's like science. He hits the home run. So you knew it was going to happen. Fellow little backstory, I did it in Seattle last year. I told him before that game. I mean, Netflix didn't pick it up, but, you know, maybe it'll be on the outtakes. But I told them, you're going to hit a home run. They hit a home run. So he did it again. It was incredible. When I saw that, I just happened to turn on the computer. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, another home run. But it's really like one of the most remarkable things that we talk about records. We started with records that will never be broken, or records. You know, I always say Johnny Gomes hitting the catwalk, getting more hits off the catwalk. You guys go to Twin Peaks 7 times in 4 days. I will say Tyler O'Neill. That will be my legitimate one. So
Rob,
that
was it's Ripken's games played streak. It's DiMaggio's hit streak. And it's Tyler O'Neill's opening day home run streak. Those are the three impeccable records.
I don't think people understand like how crazy that is.
It's ridiculous.
The Sammy James and Pat Brown Twin Peaks. And by the way, eight times, not seven.
Oh, eight times.
Eight times for them.
Gordo was seven. No one's breaking that record. 8 times in 4 days. Oh, my goodness. If those walls could talk. all right, Sammy, go ahead. You first.
All right, so the New York Yankees, who have not won a World Series since the iPhone 3 was brand new, today, they may have changed baseball as we know it. Rob, I don't know if you saw this, but the Yankees team, most of their hitters are using a new bat. And get this, they've basically taken the meat of the bat and moved it all towards the top. So it kind of looks like a fungo bat. I did some research before we came in here. It's technically legal. So my guess is they're going to review it and make it somehow illegal. It's bizarre. And they've hit, by the way, buried the lead a little bit. 8 home runs today with those new bats.
I thought it was that they took the meat and brought it closer to the grip.
They brought it more towards the label. So it's kind of like spread out.
Right, it's
guys,
closer. It looks like a paddle.
You guys know the answer to this question. Were they using these bats in spring training?
That is a good question.
Well, I was just thinking that in the car. I think I said it to Sammy on the car ride over here. We got to go watch some footage of spring training and see. Because like I hadn't heard about it until today, but it's their second game.
They look like big bowling pins.
Yeah, they do.
Do you feel like this is why they scored 20? Why did they end up with 25 runs?
20.
But this is why.
Yeah, against Regrester Cortez. Okay. But still, like that's right. I don't know. You think something's going to change, Rob?
They'll ban the bats?
I think some ban of some sort will happen. I don't know. That's bizarre.
I mean, why are the Yankees see what they doing do this and nobody else is doing it?
The Yankees.
What's a copycat league?
The Yankees say doing it because too many of their hitters were hitting the ball towards the label of the bat. So instead of changing the way the hitters hit, they're like, we'll change the bat.
The first thing I want to know if they were doing it in spring training. That's a good one, though, Sammy. All right, Gordo, what do you got?
All right, mine's a quick one. I had two, but one of them was Tyler O'Neill. So very good on your part, Rob. Just quick highlight here, Mackenzie Gore, in his opening day start for the Nationals, 6 shut, 1 hit, no walks, 13 strikeouts. Mackenzie Gore, a guy to keep an eye on in his next start moving forward.
One of the guys in one of the Juan Soto trades.
And they blew it, too. They lost that game.
You can make the argument with the Juan Soto trades that everybody won. Everybody's won in all these Juan Soto trades, I feel like. Everybody.
I don't think Yankees fans.
Did the Yankees win?
No,
the Yankees won.
No. Like
they made it to the Game 5 of the World Series.
They lost.
I know, but you know, wasn't Juan. They don't get there if they don't have Juan Soto.
They lost in embarrassing fashion.
Come
too.
On, Robbie. New York, they play for championships.
I agree, Rob. Come on.
They got the draft pick. They get the draft pick compensation.
Oh, okay. Okay. They got the comp.
Never mind. They win. They got the comp.
I really thought Juan Soto was going to take the qualifying offer there for a second. But, well, I mean, guys, it's actually, like, I'm not saying this because yay baseball, but because it's a fact. The first couple days have been really, really good. It's bad. Good to have baseball back. Spring training is one thing. I love you guys. We all love spring training, but I love having baseball back. It's been great.
Oh, yeah. Spring training is only good if you're there. That's the truth of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're in Florida or Arizona, which I've never been to Arizona, but I'm sure it's great.
All right, real quick, predictions for today.
Tyler Mahle doesn't score. Devers gets going tonight. Devers gets a hit.
My prediction for tonight, 6 innings, 2 runs from Walker Buehler. He gets the win. Sox bats come alive. We'll say 8-3 final Red Sox. 2 of those runs from Buehler. 1 of those runs from one of the relievers moving on.
I'll say 6-4 Red Sox.
6-4. What's your score, Gordo?
8-3. Sammy, if it's 6-4, who gets the save?
Chapman.
All right.
I am completely shocked that you both picked the Red Sox winning this game. I
Tyler Mahle. Who's afraid of Tyler Mahle?
Is there going to be a show we do where you don't pick the Red Sox winning that?
I picked them to lose on yesterday.
Hey, I picked them to lose a lot of games last year against lefties, and I was right most of the time.
You know who the big winner was today?
The game of baseball.
The game of baseball. And everybody who joined us, baseball is more. I appreciate it. Tommy, good job. Behind the glass. We get the pregame show coming up. The great Joe Weil and then Will Middlebrooks and Will Fleming live from the booth. Another great call. Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox. We'll see you next week.